We're doing a little bit of the halachot of Kriyat Shema in the morning. So we discussed that one is not supposed to say anything holy, a blessing or Kriyat Shema when there is feces around or meraglaim around. What happens if there's meraglaim, urine? Meraglaim is the water of the feet, which is a nice way of describing urine. So if someone urinates, so we're not allowed to say Kriyat Shema within 4 footsteps of the urine, within Dalet Amos. The problem is when you come to shul and you're sitting next to some older people, and older people very often, their clothing are with urine. You could smell the urine. So we say that when the urine is absorbed into something, then it's not a problem to pray next to the urine. If it smells, so it depends on how bad the smell is. We say that when there's a bad smell, you have to distance yourself 4 footsteps from where the smell ceases to smell. But sometimes it doesn't, very often, it's not that bad. You could just tell that the guy, unfortunately, has urine. Another situation where it's common, unfortunately, if one has to visit someone in the hospital, and the person has a catheter, and then you have a tube running out of the person, and so long as there's a catheter, the way it works is, the tube running out of the person is filled with urine. Like, it's not like it leaks out and goes out. When more leaks out, more leaks out. But you have a tube filled with urine. Now, you want to pray and you want to be next to the person. So there we say it's okay because it's all enclosed. The problem is if the catheter just runs into a cup, let's say, and there it's open, that's a problem. But usually, today, the way I saw last time I was in hospital, 2 months ago, I was next to someone with a catheter. I mean, someone who was sick. The way it worked was it went into a closed bag. Like, everything was sealed. There was no area where it was open. And once it's all sealed, so you could pray next to it, there's no smell, and it's all covered. There's no prohibition on seeing urine or feces while praying, that so long as it's covered. If it's covered, then it's okay. So even though it's in glass, it's in plastic, it's covered in plastic, that's okay. Yeah?
Even if you see through.
Even though you see through. Being that it's covered, it's okay. Just like that. Yeah?
I found in your shalai and shul, where you smell everything from the toilet.
That's true. That's a problem. I don't know what to do about that. In the Machon, they used to have that problem. That's why they stopped using the upstairs bathroom. The bathroom in the Beit Midrash, the smell used to come out. So they tried putting up a mechitza. They tried putting perfume. Perfume works, by the way, halachically. If there's a bad smell, you could spray perfume. There used to be a chavrus of mine who used to come with a spray to wherever he davened. And if there was a bad smell, he'd spray all around and continue davening. He wanted to daven in his place. So his place wasn't far from the bathroom. So that's all you smell. The Ben Ish Chai writes that if there's a bad smell, you can't overcome it. So burn things, things, and then you'll have that smell. Actually, it does burn. It's one of the. Going back to sight, so long as it's covered, it's okay. Meaning, if it's covered, the Torah says bechisita etzatecha, that it has to be covered. Then if you see, it's not a problem. On the other hand, when it comes to uncovered parts of a person's body, that, even if it's covered, it's not good. That's why Hasidim are always careful when they daven, they close the curtains. Because they say, maybe there's someone dressed in modesty on the 5th floor of the building across the street from the shul, and if you could see it from where you're davening, so that's a problem. So technically, yeah, you're not supposed to see it, but you don't have to worry that maybe someone is standing next to the window dressed in modesty where you could see out of the window. I don't know.
Supposed to look there.
No, that's not true. You're not supposed to look there. Now, Halacha says that you put windows in a shul, and when one is davening, if one feels like his focus is gone, so then he should look up to the window. There are supposed to be windows high, so you don't see out to the street, but you do see up, and then you look into the sky and you think, okay, I'm looking into the sky. Straight ahead of me is the base of Megiddush, the Kodesh HaKodashim. And think like you're looking straight opposite the Kodesh HaKodashim, and that's supposed to help a person refocus his kavanah. So there are times when you look out the window. That's what it says in Halacha. So one of the reasons we have to have windows. We're supposed to have 12 windows in shul corresponding to the 12 shvatim and the 12 gates in heaven to different prayers that each shevet had a different nusach. But the idea of having windows in shuls is primarily for this. Yeah? No, the key then would be to not say the words. You can, if you don't, the Torah says, "V'lo yira'e b'cha arvat davar." So about Erva, we say it's taluyan dibur. Davar, our sages said, could be read also as dibur. And there, when there's someone's dressed immodestly, so long as you're not saying the words, you can learn Torah. And we're out of time, so we didn't even get to start. So we'll just quickly say a few quick halachot, and then we're going to run. Minor, the second he reaches the age of one, there's a problem with his feces. Even if they're covered, you can't pray next to him. And really, I wanted to start the laws of tefillah. The Torah tells us we're supposed to serve Hashem with all of our hearts. How do we serve Hashem? What kind of service is there to Hashem? That's the prayer. And the person has to take care to have kavanah. And he has to know that God is the one that's giving him life. God is the one that's sustaining him. And everything is in his hands. And we're asking Hashem that he should have compassion over us and sustain us. And the person should take care not to pray without kavanah. Our sages taught us that when one prays with a tzibur, then God, it never comes back empty. And that's why a person should always try to daven with tzibur. When one davens with tzibur, he merits that he gets to say Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu, Amen of Chazar Sashatz. Chazal taught us that one who answers Amen Yeshme Rabba with all his might, so in heavens, even if 70 years from now there was a bad decree against him, it gets destroyed, any bad decree against the person. So those are things that a person can't have if he's davening alone. A person has to try to get to shul on time so that he could participate with the tzibur. Our sages taught us that if one has a shul in his city and he doesn't go into it, he's called a shechen ra. That's a bad neighbor. That's what causes the Jews to be exiled, the person, his children. Even if it's distant from his home, a person has to go to shul. And if a shul is far from one's home, so then Chazal taught us that he has schal psiot. He has the merit of walking to shul. Our sages spoke about pious people who used to walk great distances to go to shul, and they had schal psiot. When Rav Halberstam Zatzal heard that I asked him about moving. I told him I'm going to live right across the street from the yeshiva. So he told me, what about schar alicha? Our sages expanded on all the schar that you get for walking. So I told him, I think the schar for learning Torah is more. If I live across the street from yeshiva, I'll be able to, that time that I would have walked the yeshiva, I'll learn. So he left. I don't know if he agreed with me or not. I think he agreed with me. I don't know.
He said to his rabbi, like, every time if I take a nap during the day, but I have the intention of napping in order to study Torah, is that guy's choice? Yeah, but you won't be a Talmud Chacham.
Yeah, but it says, if that's our intent, it says in Shulchan Aruch. That's the way a person is supposed to behave. You do what you can to serve Hashem. The Gemara says that they told Rav Yochanan that there are old people in Bavel. So Rav Yochanan says, but it says in Kriya Shema, in the last Parsha Shema, we say, L'man yubui mechem mevnechem al adama. This will only help that you and your children will have a long life on the ground that God gave you. If you live in the land of Israel and you keep the Torah, you live a long life. How could it be that there are old people in Babylon? He said, I don't understand. People are getting older. They're not dying young. So they told him, yeah, but you want to know what else they do? These people come to shul early, they leave late. So he said, oh, that's what helps. If one comes to shul early and one leaves late, that's a schus that causes a person to live a long life. That's what the verse says. Those who are by the door, it says about Rabbi Akiva, no one ever came before him and no one left after him. He'd always be in this medrash first and leave last. So I guess he'd nap in between, or he had extraordinary strength. But a person has to try to come to shul early and leave late. And if it means that a person has to nap in the middle of the day, okay, so napping is a good thing. Yeah?
So they say about a shul in the hotels that maybe it's, I'm getting the idea that it's like a representation of Israeli soil. That shul, it's like an ambassador. It's like a...
That's what the Navi said. Vasuni Mikdash Me'at. They'll make me a miniature Beis Hamikdash. We're not allowed to make a Beis Hamikdash in Babylon. So our sages had a tradition that these are the Batei Knesiot and Batei Midrashot. Shul and a Beis Medrash are like a miniature Beit Hamikdash. We derive from that verse. And if one has a choice to daven in Shul or daven in the Beis Medrash, one should prefer to daven Beis Medrash. This is where you learn. This is where you should prefer to daven. According to some opinions, we don't go like this in Halacha, but if one would learn at home and he had a set place to learn in his home and that's where he was learning all day, one should prefer davening there than davening in Shul. Now, we don't rule that way halachically. Halachically, you better daven with a minyan and don't daven at home. But if you have to daven at home for whatever reason, your wife is going into labor. And she says, you're not going to shul. You're waiting here till the ambulance comes. And you say, yeah, okay, zman tefillah is in 5 minutes. Okay, so you daven right there. You don't have time. You have to be by your wife. But you could daven there. You're sitting in the emergency room. I remember one of our children was born. My wife went into labor like 5 o'clock in the morning. We were in the hospital. And I took my tefillin with me. I thought, okay, she'll give birth. In an hour, 2 hours, I'll make it to shul. Right after she gave birth, I had 5 minutes till zman tefillah. So I stood there right next to the delivery room and davened. That's where I could daven. But had she given birth at home or whatever, so then a person should prefer to daven in a place where he learns. And if you have a place where you learn, where they daven b'tzibur, and that's what you guys have here, you're learning here, and it's b'tzibur, so for sure, that's better than davening in any other shul. A person should daven here, where he learns. If you're learning at home, okay, so then you go to shul, and you don't get that merit. What I often try to do is to learn. A person should try to learn before davening, after davening. So I try to learn in shul, in the place where I daven. So then it's at least a little bit the place where I learn. Our sages taught us a person should try to have a set place where he davens. Now that doesn't mean you have to bump someone over. Within 4 footsteps is all considered the same place. And Chazal said, "Kol ha-kovei makom netfilato, whoever has a set place for davening, the God of Avram is going to be in his assistance." Shabbat Shalom.